Are you ready yet, Robert?
Sure.
You think we should start this thing?
Probably.
Okay. Fantastic. Hey, it's Robert and Josh back for another place-by-place fishing report because a whole week has passed, even though it feels like it was more like 2, maybe 3 days.
It was a blink.
Yeah, that didn't take long at all.
Mm-mm.
And yet, according to the calendar, it's been 7, so here we sit at the Fish and Frank's World Headquarters in... wherever the heck we are.
Port Charlotte, Florida.
The Bears Plaza behind ABC Liquors.
Yeah, that place.
It's a good place to have a world headquarters. We are surrounded by fishing rods. I do feel very fishy in here. So.
Okay.
Well, I mean, look, here we are. There's how many rods are in this room with us? A couple hundred anyway.
Yeah.
Piles and piles. And I think about how those rods are going to go out in people's hands, and they're going to cast, and they're going to hope, and they're going to catch fish.
They're going to create some cool memories.
And then eventually they're going to break. And then they're going to get sold for cheap at yard sales. And then they're going to have to come in here and buy new ones.
Right.
It's the cycle of life, Robert.
It is. It's funny, the cycle of life of a fishing pole.
Now, for the folks who already have theirs and are wondering what they're going to do with them, let's begin the place-by-place fishing report, starting as we always do with the Peace River, Harbor Heights area, and upriver along with Shell Creek.
Honestly, the only thing I've heard of this week was a couple of snook. A lot of people trying to go up there and figure it out, but they're having a hard time navigating. So, and I wouldn't say a lot of people, but every week it seems like there's a few more people that are getting more situated from the storm and going out and trying to reacquaint themselves. But
so what are they finding? Are they finding sandbars or shoaling or?
Yep, and trees. Combination of all the above. It's kind of... you know, it is. It was expected.
Of course it was. And we knew as more people started heading out into these areas that we were going to start hearing more and more of it.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. So, it is what it is. We'll figure it out with time. Anyone that says they have it dialed in, I don't believe them one single bit.
Right. Well, with time and hopefully minimal damage to the boats out there. So.
Right. And hopefully they got sea tow.
Moving on, the Darce Park Boat Ramp I-75 Bridges area.
I got nothing there. No reports at all.
No reports. How about the 41 Bridges Live Oak Park?
That I got a couple of reports on. We got a few snook. One guy that caught the few snook also caught one redfish. A few trout are being caught there, and a few mangrove snapper. But it has been super inconsistent, because one guy says he does good, another guy says he does terrible, and one guy's fishing in the morning, the other guy's in the afternoon, so it's been wonky.
Okay. Do you think the fishing is inconsistent, or just the reports?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, everything on this end of the harbor is definitely off compared to normal winters. And, you know, I equate that to the people fishing from the storm. A lot of new people are trying to fish because there's a lot of construction guys that are here only temporarily that have never fished here before that are going out and trying it. So it's newbies basically trying to fish in something they don't know. Plus the changes of the river itself. I think there's just been some significant water flow changes that have made it a little funky.
Okay, I can dig it. Let's move to the other side of the river, the Lashley Pier. Now, the pier itself is closed.
Correct.
But you can fish the area. There's that seawall there,
mm-hmm.
which is where I always preferred to fish when I was a kid anyway.
Right. You know, that area's been the same. I haven't gotten really anything report-wise. Pretty quiet.
Okay. I'm sure somebody will answer it. Or maybe they'll just hang up and then we don't have to worry about it. How about the Bayshore Pier? What's been going on down there?
A couple guys have been fishing there, but they didn't get anything. A guy said he had a couple runs throwing out mullet, but he didn't catch anything. So I think it's just still too early for that place to be
right
getting good.
Okay. What about the brackish and saltwater canals in Port Charlotte?
Still terrible behind my house. She did catch two little peanut snook last night, which was surprising considering she had like 4 days or 5 days in a row with nothing.
Right.
A couple other people have been catching some snook.
So what you meant to say is the fishing behind your house has vastly improved.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's up 110%
right.
compared to the last week. No, it's the fishing's been okay in the canals, but not great. Some mangrove snapper, few snook, still some sand bream being caught way in the back canals. And then they are still seeing some juvenile tarpon over there, of course, in Spring Lake and East Spring Lake, West Spring Lake, both of them. A few more people are starting to see a couple black drum here and there, but I haven't heard of anybody landing any. So it's okay, but not great or good by any stretch.
Now, do you think if we get a warming trend going here that that's going to pick things up, or are we just kind of spitballing right now?
I think we're spitballing.
Okay.
I mean, I'm hearing a lot more reports of different sandbars and stuff in the canals as far as changes to the water flow. So, you know, all that back there off the Manchester waterway back there towards the lakes back there off of, what is that, Flamingo, where it dead ends back in there? That area back in there has got some really serious shoals all over the place that have changed some. And then a couple up in the Pelham waterway. So there's been a hodgepodge of different reports now that people are starting to get out.
But basically fish are figuring out where they want to be with all the changes that we've seen in there. And so that means that fishermen are having to figure it out too. So this takes us back to everybody is new again.
Yep.
All of your spots that you knew about that used to be great because they had water flow, or for whatever reasons you didn't know why that spot was good, but a lot of it has to do with water flow, way more than people realize.
Absolutely.
And all that's changed, so everything else has changed. You go back and you fish your same spots, old reliables got nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The good news is we're all back on a level playing field.
Right? Well, but you'll find out pretty quickly that there are going to be some people who will rise to the top with this.
Sure.
And that's the people who are willing to not just put in the time, but willing to try other things.
Yes.
You know, you got to experiment out there. You can't just keep going back to the same place where you caught fish a year and a half ago and you're not catching anything now. Well, try someplace else. Maybe someplace nearby, but someplace else. Fish a different set of docks.
Right.
You know, look at what are the sandbars doing and try to figure out what the water flow is doing. And if you can't figure it out, that's okay. Just experiment. Keep trying something until something succeeds.
Absolutely. It's a very good suggestion.
How about the Elder Bean Pier?
I've been getting some snook there at night. Quite a few snook, actually. Nothing really big, but a fair number of snook. And then during the daytime, they've been a very few sheep's head, some mangrove snapper, and there's definitely been some more trout activity there. A couple guys did really good the other day on trout. I think they both said they had their limit. I'm trying to remember now, but no, it's been decent. Wouldn't say exciting and great, but decent.
Okay. What would you fish for those snook at night?
Most of the guys are throwing paddle tails and big swim baits. You know, just regular old 3-inch shad tail, or I'd be throwing like a, you know, 5-inch swim bait personally. Something a little meat to it.
Right.
And just work it real slow along the bottom, just lightly hopping it. It's kind of my favorite thing to do out there.
Dig it. Moving on, the Myakka River area from the bridge down to Marker 8.
Nothing. Nothing at all. Well, I take that back. There's been trout on the north side of the Myakka cutoff. Had a couple reports of that. Most of them were smaller trout, but they did get a couple back in there.
Okay. And you said there was nothing.
Sorry.
South Gulf Cove canals.
A couple of snook, but guy catching Mayan cichlids, tilapia. He got one bass back there, and he saw a tarpon on his neighbor's light, so he got excited about that.
Right.
It was his first time seeing a tarpon back there, so he was pretty excited.
Did you tell him how hard they were to catch in there?
I told him how hard juvenile tarpon are to catch, period.
But in there in particular, even some of the guys who have them sort of pretty good over at PGI seem to have a hard time with those fish in Gulf Cove.
Right. Yeah, they're definitely a headache without a doubt.
Pain in the butt. How about the West Wall?
Mostly on the lower end of the West Wall is where I'm going to get my reports from. Redfish and snook. Redfish have been mostly on the, like, barely borderline legal size, like 16 to 22, 23 inches.
Okay.
And then there's still been some trout on top of the bar, and one guy did skip a couple pompano but could not catch them. And then they've also been seeing a couple of very short cobia swimming on top of the bar, too. One guy caught three of them the other day drifting along for trout. He sight-casted one of them. The other one were just blind. The biggest one was 28 inches. But the ones that he did see were small, and a couple other guys said they're seeing small ones over there.
Yep. And we're 36 now, right?
Yeah.
36 for your minimum size.
Yeah, it's going to be a real challenge for those guys to... break
oh,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you do see some fish in the harbor that size, but you don't see many. And mm-mm. When I say you see them, I mean you see them caught. The ones that you see out there in the shallow areas are usually well under that size.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be fun this spring to see how many people actually do find some, considering last year they just whacked the snot out of them.
Yep.
And those will be the ones that complained about them that went out and caught one keeper every day.
Oh, yeah.
Those
why
will be the
why
first.
Can't I do the same thing this year? And yeah. Every year, and all the time, and every single day.
Yeah.
It's not fair, Robert. It's not fair.
I don't know. I like the story of that one guy that caught like 90 of them. It's his first year ever living here, and he caught, what was it, like 93 or something, but only caught one legal one the whole time.
Yeah.
You
know,
that was just an anomaly.
All right, let's talk about Cape Hayes.
Okay. Let's see. Cape Hayes has got some trout, a couple of ladyfish, some bonnet heads, and then I've actually had a few reports this week on Spanish mackerel right there.
Hey.
Just on the outside edge of it, on the deep side of it. Very rarely do I get reports right on top of it, except for usually, yeah, I don't know, more like the end of April. When it starts to really warm up and the bait starts to move in, they'll move up on that flat a little bit.
But that's good to hear about the Spanish showing up in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
You know how excited I get about Spanish mackerel.
Well, I know. You like catching them, but you also like cooking them.
Listen, I'm a simple man. I like what I like. Yeah, and nothing. Spanish mackerel are on my list, buddy.
Nothing wrong with that.
Still mostly a shrimp bite here.
Shrimp and the plastics. I mean, if you want the mackerel, just lightly, you know, just slow troll a spoon or blind cast a spoon and just reel. Don't try bouncing it, jigging it, just reel. But, you know, if you want some bonnet heads or the trout, I'm going to go with the shrimp. It's going to be more my style for catching a variety of stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Catch the rest with the shrimp. That's easy enough. Oops, I misspelled the word catch. That's not how you do that. Okay. Now, since I finished typing that, we can move into Turtle and Bull Bay, which you're going to tell me is the best fishing of the area again, I assume.
It is.
Okay.
It's still by far the most consistent thing going. Snook, redfish, trout, bonnet heads, a few sheep's head, even a few mangrove snapper. You know, there's just... kind of a good mixed bag in there. And the water's getting super, super clear, so some of the guys are actually sight casting to the snook. They're not catching them very well, but they're definitely seeing them and trying to cast to them. And the redfish, there's been some really good fish in there, like up to like 27 inches, but most of them are kind of like the West Wall, 16 to 22 inches. And not hearing of any rat reds or anything like that, which is, I don't know, a little worrisome as usual.
Well, yeah. But, you know, we've had that problem for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look back through some of the columns that we wrote about rat reds and how consistent they were, and it just isn't that way now.
Right.
So.
It's not surprising.
Everything changes.
Yes, it does.
Still shrimp and soft plastics?
Definitely. Definitely.
What about white bait?
Good luck. I know the water temperature is getting warm, but there's still nobody finding any of it out there. And if they are, they're keeping very, very, very quiet about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talked to a gentleman this week who was asking me where he can go find some white bait. And I said, well, I hear they're getting some in Sarasota Bay.
Yeah.
He didn't like that answer.
Everglades City.
He didn't like that answer at all. But I said, look, I mean, that's just the truth of it. And if you want to fish with white bait, then I get it. White bait was very successful for you previously. It will be successful for you again. Right now is not the right time to worry about white bait.
Exactly.
Get yourself some shrimp. I mean, even the guides are coming in and getting shrimp now.
Yeah.
So
give that white bait a chance to grow up and actually do something.
And you know how cheap those guides are.
I know.
Cape Hayes and Danger
Squeak
Reefs.
When they walk.
Uh-huh.
What was it?
Cape Hayes and Danger Reefs.
Cape Hayes and Danger Reef. I got nothing on those.
Nothing.
Nothing.
No reports.
Yeah.
Fine then. Gasparilla Sound?
That's about a mirror image of Bull and Turtle Bay. You know, they're catching a variety of stuff there. The only difference is that they are also catching the Spanish mackerel throughout the main ICW part of it. You know, 5 feet and deeper. But, I mean, I'm hearing reports from Three Sisters, Widden Creek, Widden Bay, Sandfly. I mean, just a good mixed bag of all of it. And there are a lot more puffers available there, too, than Turtle and Bull. So they're destroying some serious soft plastics out there.
Okie doke. I kind of like puffers.
Yeah.
Placida area, the pier, the trestle, the...
Have you tried keeping one to eat it?
Gasparilla Pass. I haven't yet. You know, but the problem is that I just haven't been able to convince myself to kill one. Because I like puffers.
I like
them too much. They're just so full of attitude.
Yeah. And
they're so mean. They're the meanest fish that swims. And
yeah.
I don't know. I just have a level of respect for it.
There you go.
Not
a bad thing.
One of these days, I am going to catch a couple out there that are big enough to turn into sea squab.
So. Okay. So off the trestle there, they're getting some sheep's head. We did just get in fiddler crabs yesterday, which who knows how long they'll last, but we did get some in.
As we speak, there are fiddler crabs.
Correct.
As you listen, there might not be.
Right.
So if you want to know for sure, you got to call, and you got to double check. And when you call, you know, if you call and then you come in 6 hours later, well, that probably wasn't the best idea, was it?
Right. Exactly. A couple of bonnet heads and a couple of trout is all I've really heard of out there besides that. It's been a little on the quiet side, honestly, for reports. I know a lot of people have been fishing out there. We saw, I don't know, I think I counted 6 out there the other day when we drove out there to Boca for the first time since the storm.
Yeah, how did it look out there?
Surprisingly, it's wrecked. There's no question, but it's not as bad as it was with Charlie, like Banyan Street.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad, but Charlie definitely did a better job at wrecking it. But I also didn't drive into the neighborhood of Boca Bay or anything like that to see some of those homes. But actual along the main road, a lot of those really big banyan trees and stuff did surprisingly well. The houses definitely have damage, but...
But they're standing?
Yeah. Yeah. Even a couple of the really old homes right there on that side street as you're going down the main boulevard before you hit the four-way stop.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those houses look fairly good.
Did you go all the way down to Lighthouse Park?
Yeah.
They've reopened it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. We walked the whole beach all the way to the old broken down bridge and then walked back to the lighthouse again.
Okay.
And walked through the parking lot on our way back and stopped and looked at the little church there, and that's all standing, everything. Looks like the new condos that they built there, they got some damage. and they weren't working on it very heavily, easily, or heavy ease at all.
Gotcha.
Because you've seen that monstrosity they're building right there, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been okay if that just got washed out.
Yeah, would have been fine with me too.
It's just gone. Whoops.
Yeah. Can't stop that though.
No, you can't. Moving on, report-wise, up to Lemon Bay, Stump Pass, Indian Mound Park.
Right around Indian Mound Park, they've been getting some trout. And then also right there at the, what's that, the conservancy or whatever, where you can kayak fish from.
Yep.
Some trout. Guy did catch a couple small snook and a redfish. And that's the only reports I've gotten from up there. And that was from the Inglewood Fishing Report.
I'm not writing down the redfish.
Okay.
It's one redfish.
Yeah, I know. But it was the same guy, and he was excited because he was kayak fishing, so he had a good time with it.
Well, that's cool. I am happy for him that he caught a redfish. I'm just not writing it down.
Okay.
How about the Anger Pier next to the Tom Adams Bridge? Anything going on there? Any sheep's head reportos? Sheep's heads? At the Anger Pier?
No. I haven't gotten anything at the Anger Pier at all. A guy was going there this morning, but got nothing for it.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Let's see the Venice jetties. I know that the sheep's head have been biting up there. Action is pretty good at the jetties. Been talking to some guys who are fishing both the inside and the outside, and they're doing pretty well, but they said they were getting their bigger fish on the outside.
You think that sandbar is a little shallow at the house?
Yeah, since he's standing ankle deep.
In the very center of the canal?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
I could totally see somebody running aground on that.
Jesus. That's crazy. Yeah, my neighbor sent me a picture of the sandbar going across the whole canal, and he's standing out literally in the middle of the canal. And he's, what, middle of his calves deep?
Oh, I don't think he's that deep. He's just a little over his ankles.
Oh, yeah, he is. No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nuts. Wow.
Maybe he's wearing high heels.
No. He doesn't know. He's confident in who he is.
I think you have to be pretty confident in who you are to wear high heels.
Yeah.
Anything besides sheep's head at the Venice jetties?
No, that's all I've gotten reports on.
Now, we should expect to hear some Spanish mackerel out of there, though.
Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't.
I'm surprised if they're not there, honestly. Yeah. I think that they probably are, and we just haven't had the reports yet.
Yeah.
But if they're here and they're inside the harbor...
Yeah.
I feel strongly that there's an excellent chance that they're at the Venice jetties and at the Venice pier.
Yeah. Well, the water temperature's right and food's right. At least here it is. You know, and I would think the water temperature would probably be about the same up there. It's just a matter of the food being next.
Yep. All right, moving on out into the Gulf of Mexico. Bottom fishing, trolling reefs and wrecks.
Let's see. In basically 75 feet to 110, 120 feet of water. That's where your grouper are at. And they are getting some mangs and some porgies, other stuff, but mainly the red grouper have been in that, you know, basically around that 100 feet of water is the best number. And then in closer, you know, 15 to 25 miles out, which is, what, 50 to 80 feet of water, mangrove snapper, lane snapper, grunts, some porgies. And going back to the cobia, a couple guys have seen cobia, but they've all been short.
Okay. How about the triple tail?
None. Everyone stole all their britches last year.
Yeah. So basically it's zero triple tail out there?
Yeah. Or a few short ones. But I haven't heard much for anybody going after them.
I'm going to use the word zilch.
Okay, zilch.
We never use the word zilch.
Nada?
It's a good word. It's underutilized. Mm. Well, in case there's something else that we're not catching, I could use the nada.
Okay.
How about hogfish reports? Nada?
Nada.
And of course...
African pompano.
Yeah, only for Mike. The reminder that red grouper...
Got to find that picture of Donnie Gant with his big, like, 60-incher or whatever that one was that he got a couple of years ago and send that to him.
Nice. Red grouper and other shallow water groupers are all closed outside of the 20-fathom curve. So
like 120 feet, but 110 feet is where you should stop just to be safe.
110 to be safe because it's not in water that's deeper than 120 feet. It's the 20-fathom curve, which is difficult to determine exactly where you are, whether you're inside or outside the 20-fathom curve. So that's why I suggest staying inside of 110 feet. So it just makes it easier.
Yeah. Keeps you safe.
But that's one that they actually do sometimes patrol.
Yeah.
Because the Coast Guard's out there. So yeah. Sometimes they get bored and they're just like, hey, let's go check and see what's going on here. So I didn't hear too much about it last year, but a couple of years ago I did hear quite a few people getting checked.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Oh, well. Just got to be careful. Yep. Don't push the envelope too much.
Yeah, that would be a good plan.
There's not a fish out there that tastes that good.
Yep. And remember, when they're closed, that means that you not only can't harvest them out there, you can't possess them out there. So, you know, if you happen to be in 110 feet of water and you say, oh, I think that, you know, I think it looks like a great day to go out there and troll a little bit and see if we can get some kingfish in deeper water. Maybe there's a wahoo out there, but you've got red grouper in the box? Eh, that would probably be a bad plan. So.
Right.
All right, we'll move back inside and start with the passes.
Them all until you get up to Boca.
The no reports section in which we have no reports. So, Punta Rasa.
I do have a customer that was going to go down to Captiva today because he hasn't been out there since the storm, so
no
I'll be
reports,
curious to know
redfish pass,
what he gets into down there.
No reports, Captiva pass.
Because he really likes fishing it down there a lot.
No reports for now, although we might have one for you next week if something happens. And that brings us to Boca Grande Pass. Boca Grande.
Okay.
Big mouth.
Okay. So they're catching Spanish mackerel and mangrove snapper drifting. And then from the beach itself, they're getting snook, some whiting, a couple of sheep's head, a couple of redfish, a couple of pompano, and a couple of bonnethead sharks.
That sounds like a lot.
Yeah. And it's just like any other time out of Boca. You sit there for hours and nothing, and then you get creamed for a little bit, and then nothing again. One guy said he caught a couple of little baby gags while he was drifting for mangrove snapper, too.
Okay, that's fun.
Yeah.
Now, are we getting good reports of mangrove snapper out there, or is it just a handful?
Just a handful.
Okay, so we're not yet at the point where I want to buy some glass minnows and get out there and sink them down and drift the area and load up on those mangs.
No.
Okay.
No, we're still too early for that.
I'm just checking.
I'm going to say that'll be another probably 4 or 5 weeks out for that.
Just checking.
I know.
By the way, did you know when you say Boca Grande Pass, you don't need to say the pass, technically? Because Boca is the Spanish word for pass. They call it a mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the big pass, or the big mouth. And when you say Boca Grande Pass, you're saying big pass.
Hmm.
So stop it.
Okay. I'll get right on that.
Matt Lachey. Pass.
Uh-huh.
Also not a pass.
No.
Indian Fields, Smokehouse Bay, that area. What do we got? Give me the great reports you've got. Lay it on me. Let me type it up.
Nothing.
Nothing? Come
nothing.
On.
Got nothing.
Let me build it up like that for nothing.
I know, but that area got hit pretty hard.
I know. I already knew you were going to have nothing.
I know.
I know you're going to have nothing for the Pine Island Sound South End either.
Uh-uh.
But I suspect that you have something for me for the North End, Rat and Cat Keys area, not Boquelia, which is the next spot.
Right. They've been getting quite a few trout, actually, down in there. A couple of redfish, a couple of snook, but a lot of trout. And I would imagine I'm going to start hearing reports of the Spanish down there, too. You know what's funny is that all the trout fishing that they do down there and all those beautiful grass flats, you hear a lot less about bonnetheads in that area than you do up in our area.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of unusual, because, I mean, it's got all the great habitat. You know, it's just a little strange that I just don't hear about people catching nearly as many down there as they do in, say, Bull Bay or, you know, burnt store bar.
Do you have a hypothesis?
A little too deep of grass for their liking because they become part of the food chain at that time of year? I don't know.
Do you think it's an absence of fish or an absence of people seeing them?
Yeah, that's possible.
Because I'll tell you.
You just don't have them catch them, though, because, you know, those guys are using popping corks and shrimp just like they do up there at Burnt Store. But you hear far fewer of them caught down there.
The biggest bonnethead reports I hear are from the really shallow areas where people spot them. And I ask some of those same people, you know, what about over off the bar? You know, on the outside edge of the bar. You ever see them out there? You ever catch them out there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. And I've been out on the water with some of these people and pointed out to them the much larger numbers of bonnetheads, especially over on the west wall,
right,
that are cruising along the bar and sitting just outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they never even noticed them because those fish aren't coming up and finning at the surface because they're not in that really shallow water.
Right.
So I think that it's part that they're just not seeing them as many. But, I mean, it could be that there actually is a reduced number. I feel like there's a need to do some kind of population census here and see.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I don't know. Just something I never thought about it until just now. But it's kind of strange how we come up with some weird stuff every time we do a report.
Well, then you make me think about it, and then I have to talk about it. And then we're in the middle of doing a report, and people are trying to get this information. And here we are talking about semi-random things that there's an excellent chance they don't care about.
No, but there's also a chance that they actually might know the answer.
They might.
So that's always a possibility, too.
So if you know the answer...
Smart guy.
Call Robert at the shop and explain it to him, because
he loves... Call Mike on his cell phone.
That kind of information. Robert at the shop, the number is?
941-625-3888.
Or if you would like to call or text Captain Mike Myers with any random fishing information you have or any kind of questions at all, 941-416-8047. He loves it when people just randomly request information from him. It is his favorite thing.
Uh-huh.
Jug Creek Shoal and Bokelia.
You just like starting stuff, don't you?
Kind of, but it would be fun. And uh-huh. Usually he'll give them information before and then ask later, who am I talking to?
All right. So,
Jug Creek Shoal, Bokelia.
Trout, and more trout.
That's okay.
Pretty much the only reports I've gotten was for some trout.
Lots of trout?
Not a lot of trout, just one guy that had really good time 2 days in a row. So... Normally I have to get it from several different people, but he was 2 days in a row consistent, so I'll go with that one.
Okay. And trout without puffers?
No, he got bit off by puffers on his plastics, and then he also caught a bunch on shrimp. He didn't catch any of the puffers on shrimp, but he caught the trout on shrimp and tails.
Plentiful puffers present.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay. Burnt Store and Tupine.
Oh, let's see. You got some pompano on the bar. People have been skipping them. And then they've been getting some trout, a couple of bonnet heads. And then along the bushes, especially down towards Two Pines, a lot of snook and a few redfish. I didn't hear any reports of snook or redfish up closer to Burnt Store. They were all down a little further south, a couple miles down from Burnt Store.
Okay.
Well, that's about it.
Now I have to go back in and add that. And then I have to change this because now it doesn't make any sense. And oh, yeah, right, the keyboard shortcuts don't work. I thought I had this all set up.
Yeah,
but oh no.
You thought you did.
All right. I got it now. Excellent. I got it now. Thank all you. Right. I got it.
That's good.
Appreciate that.
Glad your typing skills are so good.
What was I going to add to that? I had something else to say, and then...
Bzz.
Yep, it's... Oh, it's totally gone. East Side Keys, Pirate Harbor area.
Pirate Harbor's got a lot of trout in it. Mostly small trout, but there's been quite a few trout in there. And then out front, there's been some trout, some pompano, some very undersized cobia, and a few bonnet heads also. And it's funny, somebody was in here yesterday, he's like, Yeah, I saw two of my friends. They were out there drifting along and trolling motoring along. And they kept saying, oh, there's another cobia. Oh, there's another cobia. Oh, no, that's a bonnet head. Oh, there's a cobia. No, that's a bonnet head, too. And realizing that half or three quarters of what they were seeing that they thought were cobia were bonnet heads. Mm-hmm. And then the one cobia that they did catch that they sight casted to was 24 inches long.
There you go.
Yep. Yeah,
that's about what we're seeing out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a little short.
We are moving back up towards the river mouth area into Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, and the skating rink. And I bet it's slowing down.
It's slowing way down. I heard of a couple snook and some jacks in Burnt Store Meadows as the guys were coming out trolling. And then they also caught a couple snook and a couple trout while trolling on their way out of the Alligator Creek proper. And the trout were very small. He said one was maybe 12 inches tops.
Dinky.
Real dinky.
We're going to call them troutlets.
Nice. There you go. But yeah, that's been pretty quiet in there.
Okay, Ponce de Leon Park.
Ponce de Leon, I got nothing. I got no report from there at all. For as many people as fish it all the time, I would think I'd get more reports on it, but...
I think they're not saying anything because they ain't catching anything.
Yeah.
PGI canals, barge canal.
Lot of snook. A whole lot of snook, actually. Some juvenile tarpon mostly being seen rather than hooked. Some bigger jacks, 5 pounds, 8 pounds, right in that range. And there must be some bigger ones in there because a guy was in here looking for a big saltwater popper because he had gotten broke off by a jack that came up and crushed his, which was kind of cool because I would like to see that. That would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
They are seeing some black drum in there. Nobody's really catching any that I've heard of. And then a few small snapper and some decent sheep's head. I wouldn't say it's on fire, but there's definitely some decent sheep's head in there.
Okay. What do you mean by decent?
Up to like 15 inches.
Okay. I'll take that.
Yeah. That's a good shouldered fish at 15 inches.
Mm-hmm. And you said mangrove snappers?
Yeah, most of those have all been small. Nothing really to write home about.
Okay, Gilchrist Pier?
Got nothing there.
Alligator Creek Reef?
Oh, let's see.
24-inch cobia?
Yeah, definitely been some short cobia. A couple of Spanish mackerel. Not very many, but a couple.
With more to come, hopefully?
Oh, I'm sure. What else have been getting there? No sheep's head. Didn't really hear of any mangrove snapper either. A couple of baby jewfish. That's about it. Been a quiet week for them out there.
I guess. Once again, the deep holes, the 20-foot holes, nothing going on?
Nothing.
Okay.
Very quiet.
Bait fish?
Nothing. No bait fish. No bait fish for you.
Not yet. All right. The freshwater canals, creeks, ponds, and lakes?
A lot of crappie fishermen. A whole lot of crappie fishermen. And they're just hopscotching everywhere from the main reservoirs inland to the local canals and ponds. And then we've also had a few people getting the worms and going out and catching... The bluegill.
We're using night crawlers or wigglers?
Wigglers. Mayan cichlids, tilapia. One guy caught two, what are they, the yellow bullhead? The buttercats?
Yeah, buttercats.
And he caught two of those. He was pretty sure that's what it was, but he had never caught them before. But he was super excited because they were both 1.5 pounds, 2 pounds. I mean,
ooh,
they were chunks.
Nice. Yeah, that's a... That's bigger than I want to fry whole.
Yeah.
Big enough to fillet.
Yeah.
How about the bass?
I have never caught a catfish down here in freshwater.
Try harder.
Eh. No, I've caught enough catfish in my time in freshwater. Unless I go to the Amazon, then it's a different ballgame.
Well, but then...
Now we're on.
I mean, there's catfish, and then there's catfish.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going down and fishing for those big red-tailed catfish, potentially a five-footer, you know, the various different shovel-nose catfish.
I want one of the tiger shovel-nose.
Of course you do.
That's the one that I want.
Yeah. You want the hard one.
Yeah, of
Meridontotus tigrinus.
Is that what it is?
That's what it was.
Well, yeah.
I don't know if they've changed
it. They changed that last week, probably.
Latin names.
Yes.
But that has nothing to do with what you're going to catch here.
No.
Even though it's possible to catch red-tailed catfish in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
People have released enough of them down in the Miami area that there are some canals where they do catch them. I wouldn't say they catch them regularly.
No, but the potential is there to catch one.
Yeah, and your average catch is going to be somewhere around 2 or 3 feet. You know, you're not right. expecting a five-footer. But, hey, it's possible.
Yeah, anything is.
Give them enough time to grow.
Right.
I was asking you, though, about the bass.
A lot of shiners being sold. A lot of guys catching the 1 to 3 pound bass just about everywhere. But quite a few guys, because it's starting to dry up fairly well down in the Glades, people are coming in buying shiners and worms and minnows to go down there and target some of the non-native species, peacocks and largemouth, along with all the panfish that they want. I've had 3 different guys in this week that were buying all that to go down there.
Right.
Yeah. Well, one guy was taking his son, grandson, and granddaughter down there, I think. I know they were talking about it, but I can't remember if they bought the bait or not, but they were really talking about going down there to
It's a cool trip to make.
Day.
And, you know, going down there, you're road fishing for the mm-hmm. most part. So you're fishing off of 41. There's a lot of little spots in there that you can fish. You can use night crawlers. You can use wigglers. You can use crappie minnows.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the areas that get hit hard, most of those fish have seen the worms, and they're less interested in them. But you throw a little minnow out there, and
right.
a lot of people aren't using those fathead minnows to use those as bait. So sometimes the fish that are just ignoring the worms will go nuts for those minnows.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah, and it's good times. Because most of what you're catching, I mean, it's exotic fish, and there's no bag or size limits on it. You know, keep as many Oscars as you want.
Right.
Keep as many mines as you want. Keep as many tilapia as you want. And if you're used to grocery store tilapia, you'll be shocked at what a real tilapia tastes like.
Right.
So...
Yeah.
It's a much better fish.
Oh, a whole lot better. I was trying to explain that to a guy last week. He was, I'm going to politely call him a granola head.
Okay.
And
did you call him that to his face?
No.
Then it's not polite.
But he was worried about the mercury and then started talking about all the little different types of amino acids and this, that, and the other thing and started talking about tilapia. And I'm like, you seem fairly well educated, but have you ever looked up, like, the real breeding situations of farm-raised tilapia? No. I'm like, okay, so I was explaining that to him and his friend, and they're like, no way. I'm like, just go ahead and look it up. Take the time to actually look it up, because you seem to have educated yourself about the different types of vitamin contents and, in the eyeballs of fish and this, that, and the other thing, because he was worried about mercury. So I'm like, do you eat fish whole? Yeah.
Right.
I'm like, okay, you eat the whole thing? Oh, yeah, soup. Well, okay. So I was trying to explain to him, like, you're splitting hairs on some of this stuff, but then you're talking about a farm-raised fish that's raised in some of the most horrible, nastiest environment possible.
Yep. That's one fish that I absolutely will not eat is a farm-raised tilapia. I will eat the other farm-raised fish. I'll even eat the bassa, the swai, the salmon, which so many people have problems with, but I will not eat farm-raised tilapia.
Yeah.
Not if it comes from any Asian source.
Right.
You can get farm-raised tilapia from here in Florida. Publix sells it. You got to make sure that it's Florida origin. They also sell South American origin tilapia.
Mm-hmm.
But you want the Florida origin tilapia if you can get it. All of that inexpensive Chinese tilapia, the cheap stuff that you can get, the stuff that is $2 a pound, the reason it's $2 a pound is because they're raising it in ponds underneath chickens. And the chickens are feeding the tilapia. And what do you think chickens can offer tilapia as food? there's only one thing that comes out of a chicken that a tilapia might consider eating, and it's not eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't mind eating tilapia that have had a steady diet of chicken crap their entire lives, then go ahead, knock yourself out.
Right.
Eat them up. Go get that all-you-can-eat fish fry.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
But, and the problem is it's giving fish farming a bad name.
It is.
Because as more people find out about that, they're like, well, then I don't want to eat these other farmed fish. You know, they'll hear bad things about how salmon are crowded in pens and how there's too much poop in the water there. Well, salmon are raised in salt water. Tides flush that stuff out. Yes, there's probably more poop in the water than there would be in a natural situation, but it's nothing like that situation that they have with tilapia. And salmon are a lot pickier about what they eat. They don't eat poop. So...
Exactly.
And neither do the swai, and neither do the bassa, but the tilapia will do it. They will eat the poop. So, yeah. Yummy, yummy.
Yeah, exactly. Avoid them at all costs.
But the wild-caught tilapia. Wild-caught tilapia, I mean, they're not eating chicken crap. They're eating all the other stuff that's available to them. They eat the worms. They eat the small crustaceans. They eat some vegetation. You know, when you find them, a lot of times there's a little bit of mud in their stomachs. Because, like a mullet, they will go along and they will kind of graze the bottom. And they end up with a little bit of mud in their stomachs. But that doesn't mean the mud's in their meat.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's a totally different situation. So, I like wild-caught tilapia. I will not eat the imported farm-raised stuff. Just not happening.
Don't blame you.
Was there anything that you would like to add to this fishing report, sir?
Not really.
So you want to end on that crappy note. That's fine.
Well, the weather's changing. It's getting closer towards springtime, even though there's still 12 months of Florida left. It's doing good out there. I mean, the surprising part is the Spanish mackerel that have showed up. So kind of take advantage of them while you can, because it's going to be little spurts of moments before they get here in good numbers.
Well, and remember, too, that even though it's a little cool this morning, but we're predicting warmer weather, that doesn't mean that spring has sprung.
No.
You know, we're just at the beginning of February. Typically, February is our colder month. So you have a lot of potential left to have some real wintry type weather. Whether we're going to get it or not, I can't tell you that.
Right.
I don't have that crystal ball. But,
why not?
You know, just be prepared for it to be a very realistic scenario. So don't assume that spring fishing has started just because a couple mackerel are starting to bite.
Right.
They could disappear as fast as they got here.
Absolutely.
All right. I think we is done with this report for this week. We will try to do another one next Saturday for you. Until then, there's only one thing to say. Say goodnight, Robert.
Goodnight, Robert.